3 days till Christmas. I was reading the Christmas story this past week, and I was praying. I said, Lord, what do you want me to speak on? And the title, I have to be honest, it's a little cheesy, is what we say in America. How to have a truly Merry Christmas, okay? But I believe God today is going to speak to us on a more profound level than just a title. That's all he could come up with. I don't know. I want to look at two verses today as my primary text. Luke 1:57 through 58 says, when it was time for Elizabeth to have a baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. Let me read that again. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy and shared her joy. You know, this is the story of the birth of John the Baptist is quite often overlooked in the Christmas story because, let's be honest, Jesus is the big deal, you know. John the Baptist doesn't even get the, he's not even in the realm of, he was an awesome guy, really awesome guy, but he's not even in the realm of Jesus, let's be honest. But today I want to focus on the story of the birth of John the Baptist and what happened with Elizabeth. And I think these two verses, today we're going to talk about how to have a truly Merry Christmas. And I know some of you probably have really high expectations for Christmas. You know, childhood memories. Maybe you have great plans for this Christmas. And then I also realize that some of you are very far away from home and that you don't have family. And maybe it even brings up bad memories for you this Christmas. And so it's kind of funny because the title is How to Have a Truly Merry Christmas. But Mary, you know, kind of gives you the sense of just like, drinking eggnog, you know, dancing around the room with a Santa hat on, you know. But what we're looking for here today is a much deeper meaning to Christmas, a much joyful Christmas. Amen? So let's read this verse again. And I'm purposely repeating this over and over because I really think it's important. When it's time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. You know, when God sent Gabriel to give the message to Mary that she was going to have Jesus, you know, it's amazing because that wasn't the only news that Gabriel had. It's like the best news ever, and then he added some other great news on top of it. And he says, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. If we look back a little bit, verse 36 and 37 says, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. And I like this. 37 says, for no word from God will ever fail. Amen? No word from God will ever fail. So I love it because God is just so good. You know, not only was Mary going to give birth to Jesus, but he made sure that she wasn't going to do it alone. That actually Elizabeth would also have a baby at the same time. And verse 37 is amazing. It says, for no word from God will ever fail. Another translation says, nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible with God. I'll tell you what, if you want to have a great Christmas, if you want to have a great life, wake up every day with that reality, that nothing is impossible with God. No promise will ever fail. I was kind of curious, how many promises are in the Bible? Have you ever wondered that? And I thought about counting them up, but then I don't have enough time. So I just went on the internet. Thank God for the internet. Because somebody had enough time. Apparently, they were bored for a month. And so they counted all the promises. And there are 3,573 promises in the Bible. Okay, now, I know you can't believe everything you read on the internet. So if you find 3,573 574 or 5, you know, don't come to me because it's just somebody counted them up and I'll take it. Sounds good to me. But my first point this morning is this. We serve a God who loves to keep his promises. Okay? He loves to keep his promises. No word from God will ever fail. Not one word from God will ever fail. And I began to reflect on the promises of God. It's many great promises. And I thought this morning I would read all 3,573. No, I'm just kidding. And we would not be having a Christmas Eve service if I did that. But I do want to highlight a few of them because I think we need to be reminded of just who exactly is this God we serve and who came to this earth and walked among us that we could have new life. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, don't be anxious about anything. Is that difficult for anybody in here? Don't be anxious about anything. Man, it is for me. Matt and I had a great talk this week. Can I just say, it's great to have a good brother, good sister. I pray for all of you to have somebody that you can sit and share your real honest thoughts with and say, yeah, I got some anxieties, I got some worries, some concerns, some things going on. You pray for each other. Man, I felt 100 times better after talking to Matt this week. You know, I think sometimes we can over-spiritualize life and say, well, I'm just going to my room every night and praying to Jesus. And man, please do that because he's real, you know. Please do that. But find somebody this holiday season that you can share your heart with. Don't be afraid to be vulnerable with somebody. You know, don't be afraid to share weakness because in that vulnerability, in that sharing with somebody else, is your healing, is your joy. Anyways, I'll keep going because I said this is going to be a short message. I've already taken up about 15 minutes. Oh, boy. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What a promise, man. What a promise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, Julie and I were talking last night, and I'll tell you what, I think that verse covers about everything you can think of, every fear that you have, every situation you go through in life. I don't see a restriction to it, do you? It says, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Man, that's an awesome promise. I mean, even if we didn't have the other 3,572 promises, that one right there is probably going to take care of you. You know what I mean? Let me read on. Psalm 55, 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Does it say that you'll never have a burden? Does it say that? No. Does it say you'll never have trouble? No. But it does say that you don't need to carry it. That you can give it to Jesus. You can toss it on him. Sometimes, don't you want to just take your problem and just chuck it into the river or something? You know, that's I love that imagery. Cast it on the Lord. He'll never permit the righteous to be moved. I know some of you probably here maybe even doubt, are you saved? What will happen? You know, can you trust the Lord? Will you fall away? Let me tell you something. Take this for what it says. He's not going to permit you to be moved. He's going to carry you when you can't carry yourself. And by the way, I have a feeling when we get to heaven, we're all going to realize that we never really carried ourselves in the first place, that every breath came from him, that every gift that we have in life came from him, and it'll be real to us, and that's why we'll worship for eternity. Another promise, just highlighting a couple. Romans 8, 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. If you love God this morning, if you're called according to his purpose, which is to love him, primarily, then you have a promise that all things are going to work together for good. Does that mean that we know what that looks like? No, I don't think we do. I don't think the majority of things we're going to know the good that God worked out of it. I've shared many times my story of having cerebral palsy, being born with a lifelong disability. And I say this from the depths of my heart, that when I was a kid, I could not see that God could work this together for good. I remember sitting on the playground on a little bench, looking out at the gym and the basketball courts, and all the kids were running around. And someone would make fun of me, you know, that was even worse. But I just remember feeling really bad, like, God, how can I can't do anything that these kids can do, you know? In various stages of my life, there's been temporary feelings of, man, will I ever get married? Will I ever have kids? Will I ever, you know, be seen as normal? Will I ever have friends? I even doubted that people, sometimes in my life, earlier life, I thought people were just my friends because they felt sorry for me. I mean, I've gone through all those things. And now at 40 years old, I can truly say, and I've been saying this for quite a while now, but that cerebral palsy has been, now I don't think it comes from God, don't hear me wrong, but it's been perhaps one of my biggest blessings because it's drawn me close to Jesus. It's brought a single focus to my life, and that's Jesus Christ. And how can you explain that to somebody who doesn't know God? They look at you like you're crazy. I remember one time I had a talk with my aunt, one of my aunts, and she's not a Christian. And she said, man, so great that you've persevered and you've pulled yourself up by your bootstraps and you made something of your life with cerebral palsy. And I just kept saying, man, I can't make anything with my life for this. You know, only God can do this. Only God can bring joy and sorrow. Only God can bring security out of insecurity. Does that make sense? I know it's hard to believe, but I can tell you truthfully that it's been one of the biggest blessings of my life. So much so that I don't really pray to be healed from it because it's a non-issue. Jesus is the issue. Jesus is the issue. People don't believe me. They'll never believe me, but I just keep saying it. Let's read the verse again. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Now listen to this. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. Second point this morning. Remember the first one. We serve a God who loves to keep his promises. Second point this morning, remember and proclaim the great mercy of God this Christmas season. I think it's fascinating that Elizabeth's neighbors knew what God was doing. Let me ask you a question. Are you sharing with others what God's done in your life? Are you okay with, you know, Matt and I were praying in Coffee Lovers this week, you know? We were probably talking pretty loud about God. I mean, I could tell because every now and then I realized people were kind of looking. I don't care. You know what? God deserves to be proclaimed through every place in this city. You know, and shame on us if we ever get to the point where, man, I'm embarrassed. You know, I've been convicted by this because I'm not sure I always have my neighbors saying, man, I see God's goodness through Steve and Julie's life. Maybe they see it, but do they hear it? And sometimes we've kind of excused ourselves and says, well, you know, we need to act like Jesus. And we don't need to talk about it. No, that's wrong. We need to talk about it too. You know, it's worth talking about. And if people don't hear, they're not going to know. You know, they can look at your life and listen. I tell you, I've known a lot of nice Buddhists, a lot of nice Hindus, a lot of nice Mormons. You can fill in the blank. But we do need to share the truth with people. Not be afraid to speak how good, you know, when you're in love with somebody, you just share boldly about what they mean to you. Why would we hold back about Jesus? They say good news travels fast. Are you remembering the mercies of the Lord in your life? Make it a practice of proclaiming the goodness of God every day. Don't hold it in, but share it with others around you. This Christmas, make sure you make Jesus the focal point. Don't get caught up in all the other trappings of, there's a lot of great things, you know, we're probably going to try and hit a German Christmas market and all those things. And but don't forget what it's really about, guys. It's about the love of God. It's about the hope of Jesus. It's about that somebody loves you unconditionally and gave his life for you. Share that with others, you know? There's a song, and we didn't sing it today. And to be honest with you, I've never really liked this Christmas song because the melody just kind of makes me think, but it's Hark the Herald Angels Sing, you know? How many people like that song? No judgment, okay? But the tune just kind of seemed a little superficial to me, let's put it that way. But I heard it this last week in a church service, and I was reflecting on these words, and it was written by, I don't know if you know, but a lot of these songs are written by great theologians, heroes of the faith, and it was written by Charles Wesley, who was the brother of John Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church, brought revival to England. But it says in one of the verses, "Hail the heavenly Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays by glory by, born that men no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Born that man no more may die." Aren't you glad that Jesus came so that we could have eternal life? Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Second birth there is talking about coming to faith in Christ. And again, today, if you don't know Christ, let me plead with you. Come to know him. Don't delay any longer. Let's read the two verses again. "When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy." I want to focus on that last part, sharing her joy. Do you have anybody this Christmas to share your joy with? I got a little convicted last night as I was praying. I thought, you know, I've been so focused on making a nice Christmas for our family, and I thought about our neighbor next door, single mom, two boys. And God really spoke to me and says, you need to share joy with her. You need to share in her joy. You need to bless her. So we're going to bless her this week. Can I encourage you to find somebody else this week outside of your circle, somebody that maybe even, dare I say, annoys you? Not this lady doesn't annoy us, but somebody that you don't think of. It's so easy to get caught up in what we're doing, how we want it to go, that we miss the people around us that so desperately need us. And the most hard person that you meet, I had a guy today honking a horn at me, you know, because I was driving too slow going into the parking lot. Just, man, it was so annoying. And I thought, well, that guy needs a Merry Christmas, you know? He needs somebody to share the joy of the Lord with them. Can I encourage us to be practical about it this Christmas season? Many of you will. Many of you have tremendous hearts. And like Matt talked about, we don't want anybody in this church to be alone. If you don't want to be alone, please don't be alone. You know, we want to provide a place for everybody. And my prayer is for everybody in this city on Christmas to be with friends and people that love them. That's the third point today. Sharing the joy of others by celebrating them. This Christmas, by celebrating them, not worrying about what you want to see happen, but being interested in loving each other deeply. Can we do that this Christmas? So the three points. Point number one, we serve a God who loves to keep his promises. Remember the 3,573 promises. If you're feeling down this holiday season, maybe just start going through Genesis to Revelation. And find all the promises and highlight them in the Bible. Wouldn't that be awesome? You'd have like a yellow Bible from highlight, you know? Point number two, remember and proclaim the great mercy of God this Christmas season. Talk about the goodness of God. Share it with others. Let it overflow in your life. And thirdly, share in the joy of others by celebrating them this Christmas. Put the focus, you want to have a great Christmas? Put the focus on someone else. Making them happy. Go find a kid that doesn't have ability to have a great Christmas and give them a great Christmas. And you'll find that you've had the best Christmas you've ever had. I really believe that. I want to pray right now. And I'm going to ask that anybody who would like to know Jesus today in a new way, maybe you've walked away from God. Maybe it's been many years since you've felt like you've been close to God. Or maybe you've never heard of God until you walked in here today and Jesus and all this stuff. When I received Jesus, it changed everything in my life. Changed every darkness to light, every fear to love. Totally transformed me. And it's transformed the lives of my kids, so many around me, just because the love of Jesus can't be contained. Amen? Lord, help us today, God. God, help us to fully experience your love today. Thank you for these that have raised their hands to accept you, Lord, to put their faith and trust in you. What an awesome time to do it, God, at Christmas. Lord, I thank you for this church family, God. May we love each other deeply. May we share in the joy of others, God. Let us be your light to this city. We love you, Lord. Amen.